God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon our denominations. That he might have mercy upon those that are baptized the way we baptize. What am I doing wrong? That he might have mercy upon what? A-double-L. Oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him again, and shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your, what's it say? Bodies, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed in your bodies, that's metamorphosis, changed, butterflied, by the renewing of your mind. Now watch this next one. That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and, say it, perfect will of God. How many have heard of the perfect will of God? All right. Now, there's a translation difficulty because where it says good, that's good, but where it says acceptable, that's not acceptable. Where it says acceptable, it means well-pleasing. I'm going to do that again. What is that good and well-pleasing? Where it says acceptable, it should be translated well-pleasing. Now, well-pleasing means a whole lot different than acceptable. Right? And where it says perfect, perfect is not a perfect enough word for me. So, the word really should be completely fulfilled. I'll do it again. What is that good and well-pleasing and perfectly completed, perfectly fulfilled, completely fulfilled, all the way through, finished, done. What is that good will of God? What is that well-pleasing will of God? And what is that completely fulfilled will of God? The good will of God is to let Jesus in the heart, and he calls it good. The well-pleasing will of God is to have the Holy Ghost in the head. And he's well-pleased when you receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But the completely fulfilled will of God, did you hear it? Completely fulfilled will of God, called perfect in your King James, is when the glory of the Father inhabits the physical body. That's why you present your bodies wholly acceptable, so that you can prove the salvation of the spirit, then the soul, and the body. And when you prove the completely fulfilled or perfect will of God, then will be brought to pass the manifestation of the sons of God. And all creation groans, waiting for that manifestation. All creation. And do you know that means not just the ones that are alive, but also the ones that are in that great cloud of witnesses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they cannot be made perfect either, because there's more. But you see, the reason for the manifestation of the sons of God is not so that God can put his glory in them. The purpose of the manifestation of the sons of God is so that the manifestation of the sons of God will bring forth a people who will bring salvation to the rest of the world. The purpose is not to manifest the sons. The purpose is to save the world. For by your mercy they shall obtain mercy. Okay, let's do that again. If you're going to grant mercy, you must be affluent. You cannot grant mercy when you yourself need mercy. Which of you, needing a bowl of soup, can give a bowl of soup to a hungry tramp? you must already possess in order to grant mercy. Nod your head. There is a concept in Christendom which teaches that Christians should not be affluent, but rather that they should be poor. Now let's get this straight. It's not money that's evil. It's the love of money that's evil. And I'd a whole lot rather associate with some rich person who didn't have the love of money than some poor person who didn't have the love of money. I'll wait on that one. How many understood what I'm saying on this, you see? How can you grant mercy without being affluent? Seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. Glory is the light that covers the physical body. Honor, in every case, the word honor is money. Honor the widows who are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well in word and doctrine be counted worthy of double honor. The Bible says, seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. Glory is for the body. Honor is for the body. Immortality is for the body. Then why are you seeking honor if the love of money is the root of all evil? And he told you to seek it. Not the love, but the money. Now let's do that again. Looks like I'm not getting very far with this one. Maybe you've been taught too long that you ought to be poor. I don't get enough fidgeting on this one here. Listen, the Bible is clear that the last generation of people are going to be very affluent. The Christians are going to rule and reign on thrones. How's that for affluency? Come on. Not having the love of money, but having plenty of it, so that they might grant mercy where mercy is needed. You show me your faith. How did he say it? By your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Didn't James say something a little bit like that? And so in order to have mercy for the last days, we've got to have affluency for the last days. Now, we're not teaching that affluency is the way to heaven. Neither is affluency the way to pleasing God, but affluency is the way to granting mercy. And without having it, you can't give it. If there was some way to... Sometimes I would like to have some kind of a supernatural needle just inject these truths working so hard. If you believe the stuff that I've taught tonight, you're a heretic. And the Bible says Paul followed Christ after the way called heresy. Where did anyone in any church ever teach you to seek affluency? They don't teach that. They teach you ought to be poor to be a Christian. Now, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible warns you against the love of money, not money. Jesus said, make friends with mammon while you're young. On Bible students, don't act like I'm making it up. Rattle your head so the others will know I'm telling the truth. Jesus said it. Make friends with mammon. That does not mean to love it, for love is sin. The love of money is the root of all evil. But you need it to grant mercy. And somehow, most of us have been willing to let Jesus provide it all. When I got saved, I went to church, and somehow, I don't know whether they actually told me or it was just implied, what I ought to do is give my heart to Jesus and get a rocking chair, sit on the front porch, and wait for Jesus. Just rocking for Jesus. Waiting for Jesus. Jesus was going to come down out of the clouds, out of heaven on a white horse. Clump-de-clump, clump-clump. And then he's got a big silver platter, and he jumps off the horse and hands it to me and says, "Oh, Dave, I've been waiting so long to hand you the kingdom. Then I'm going to stand up from my rocking chair and say, 'Yep, Jesus, you sure are lucky that I made it in.'" And I got that idea about Christianity. And I forgot entirely that Jesus said he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming back until the restitution of all things. He said, "I'm not going to do anything." When he said it's finished, it was finished. He's not going to do anything else. "I give you power. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out demons. You do all these wonderful works in my name, so that when I come back, I'm not going to bring you a kingdom. I'm going to receive a kingdom." And all the scriptures say that Jesus comes to receive a kingdom, but the quartets say he's going to bring one. Now, some people think I'm real mad at quartets. I just use that. That's a word that I pull out of the air to describe traditional teachings. You understand? You go to a big quartet singing, it's mostly traditional teaching, not biblical. And I'm not mad at the guys that are in the quartet. But we do get our theology from strange places. He's coming to receive a kingdom, not to bring one. Well, how's he going to receive a kingdom unless the good guys have got it? How are we going to get it unless we exercise the power that he told us to have? Now, in one realm, the kingdom is spiritual, and that's all right. And if that's your whole goal, then go ahead and die and go to heaven and be a spirit. But the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost on the earth, not in heaven. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus tried to teach over and over again, ought to be on earth and not up there. And he gave a whole lot of scriptures, and those have been in some of our lessons about the John 14 thing, about in my house are many mansions, Father's house. You remember all that kind of stuff. It's always bring it here. Not over there, it's here. The kingdom of heaven's here, not over there. And we got the idea that to live a good life and pray for me, I hold on the end and you know, die an honorable death and cross Jordan's chilly waters and go over to the other side and be with Jesus and have a cabin in a corner of glory land. That was, you know, the extent of our goals. But that's not the extent of my goal, because I'm finding out there's more. There's more. It's more than just that. But there's a hard thing right now. It sure does sound nice to hear about all those great things that the sons of God are going to do, doesn't it? And as we begin to think about becoming manifest sons of God, it sure is hard to be humble. Here we are, getting ready for the supernatural manifestation that all creation's been groaning, waiting for. And we're so close to being that generation. Do you know, I believe I'm talking to some people who are going to do it. I'm looking at this group of here, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I'm talking to some people who are going to do it. But when you think about it, it is hard to be humble. Until you realize all the trouble you got to go through to become a manifest son of God. Well, one of the worst things you got to do is be patient and wait. That helps my humility. And then that other thing, he said in the Bible, God wants your spirit and your body, but he says in 2 Corinthians, he doesn't want our minds. Here I thought, you know, how. What a great mind. And he said, I don't want that. I want to replace it with the mind of Christ. And that helps my humility. When I realize that all has to go, be replaced with the mind of Christ. But I want to overcome the last enemy, which is death. And it says that in order to do that, there's coming a time and a generation which this which is corruptible puts on incorruption. this which is mortal puts on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the, say it, law. While we're under the gospel of the circumcision, we're under law and grace, and we cannot enter immortality. We cannot become manifest sons. We cannot bring mercy until we're free. If our goal is to be free from the law, we're wrong. If our goal is to be led by the Spirit, we're right. Do that again. When you went to kindergarten, they started putting you under laws. By the time you got in the first grade, it was nothing but law, 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 law. Do you know they actually made me stay in the lines when I was coloring? They thwarted my creativity. And it gave me laws every time. I had to sit in the same seat. And there were all kind of bathroom rules. Don't you remember all those laws and rules? I had to raise my hand, sometimes signal. All kinds of rules and laws, traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinances. You know something? I needed those. Because I grew up in a house where there was only one other boy, and he was younger than I was, so naturally, I made the laws. But when I got to school, I found out I had to keep other people's laws, because they were bigger than me. And the more I learned, the more I found out, life was just one rule book, one law after another. Law, 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 rule, rule, rule. And then we grew up. We got free from some laws and got into more. Do you know you need laws when you're growing up and you're maturing? But who is it that needs no law? One person in the kingdom whose word is law. One person does not live by law. He lives by his Spirit. Who is he? The king. The monarch. When he speaks, it creates law. And he's not under law himself. For hopefully within that society they believe he's mature enough to be led of the Spirit. The Bible says we're going to be kings and priests, doesn't it? Well, let's talk about kings and priests for just a minute in closing. I always add in closing when I hear the bell. Kings and priests are going to rule and reign. Priests will be the lawyers, and the kings will grant mercy. The kings will grant mercy because they're affluent. They'll rule and reign with Christ on thrones. Priests demand sacrifice, but kings grant mercy. Now, my king and priest was a king and a priest, not after the order of Aaron, for it was obvious that Jesus did not come from Levi, but came from Judah. Therefore, he was a priest and king, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, a higher priestly order. How many understood that? But what order did Melchizedek have to prove that he was king and priest? He had the power of an endless life and did not die in the physical body. Is that what it says? And because Jesus did not die in the physical body, but because the Holy Spirit raised him, his body, proving he had the power of death, and he had the keys of death on the grave, according to Revelation. Therefore, he proved he was not after the order of Aaron, because they're all dead. He was after a greater or higher priestly order. But when we study Melchizedek, we find Melchi means king and Zedek means peace. A king of righteousness and a king of peace. And he was a priest after a kingly order. And we're going to have to enter the same order through the same power. I'm going to say that again. The Melchizedek order is an order of kings that you enter in when you have the power of a what? Endless life. But there will be a group who manifests that. The manifested sons of God, who overcome the last enemy, which is death. Then they become kings. And when they become kings, they're not under law. They're led of the Spirit. And what they say becomes new law. So he gives to them a rod of iron. And they begin to rule and reign. How many know I'm connecting a lot of things in the Scripture? And what they say becomes law. Because they're king. But what they do is always mercy. They always grant mercy. Because I would desire mercy and not sacrifice. If you must continue to pursue God after the Aaronic order of the priesthood and pursue God after law, you're going to have to die. If you pursue God after the power of an endless life, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, and you begin to pursue God after this, then you're not led by the law, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You're not stung by either the strength or the power of sin, because when there is no law, there is no sin. And when the law came, sin revived, and I died. How many understood that? But the desire to leave the law is wrong, because we needed the law when we were kids. So we need the law while we're immature, but when we become a manifest huios, we need the Spirit. And in order to find that Spirit, we find it through the power of the endless life coming to God after the order of Melchizedek, not the Aaronic order, which means that we leave all of Israel, we leave all of Judah, we leave all of that kind of thing, for Melchizedek predates all that. How many understood what I just said then? The Melchizedek order predates all that, so that means that it's not necessary to be a Jew, it's not that British Israel doesn't mean anything anymore. How many? Not in these steps. Oh, they may have had some truths along the line, but the big thing now is to come into the kingdom and become a kingdom of kings, in this case, ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years through the power of an endless life. And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He has the power to do it. Oh, by the way, it tells you in Acts chapter 2 that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that you do now both see and hear. And what was he talking about? Tongues. It was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he tells you, is the proof, the manifestation of the tongues, and tongues proves the Spirit, and tongues proves the resurrection, and the resurrection proves tongues. Now, I'm not teaching here on tongues right now so much as tongues as a goal, but tongues is certainly a manifestation that it's the same Spirit. We got proof of that in Acts 2:30-something. What I want to do right now is pray for you that every person here will enter the kingdom through the power of the endless life. And that you will be preserved in your spirit and your soul and your what? Body unto the coming of the Lord. Because there is more. Stand up while we pray, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. change us from what we are to what we ought to be, Lord. We trust you that every person here in the heart, spirit, say yes to Jesus, that nobody get out without covering the past sins by the blood of our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that Jesus has done for us, and we recognize him as the pattern son, as the waymaker, as everything that you have given to us has been shown to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, we can see that even after we've given our heart to Jesus, there's more. So we're asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he said it was expedient. He had to go away so that you could send the Holy Spirit. Lord, send your Holy Spirit now. Send your Holy Spirit upon your children, changing our minds. Even after our hearts were changed, change our minds now from what we are to what we ought to be. And graft in our minds, souls, the Word of God to change us and save our souls, even though we are saved in our spirits. In the body, Lord, we just stand for as candidates, knowing that our bodies are going to go through the bondage of corruption and will be mortal until our minds can get straightened out. So hurry up with the mind changes, Lord. We pray now that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School,